In addition to that, there's an article in today's New York Times about the fact that the older generation are the ones who are less apt to follow the rules and are not self-isolating. And their children, who are the middle-aged, are the ones who are after them to try to isolate. So kind of interesting, and I have heard this around too, and I've seen it among peers. So very interesting. How are you going to encourage, I guess, how are you going to encourage your clients who are going out and doing things that they should not be going out and that they are at great risk?
Hi, this is Janet in Houston, and I think that's a really good point because I do think back on the attitudes of the greatest generation and what they have been through. And I also think back on my own childhood. I'm older than many of you on this call, I'm sure, of remembering measles and how contagious it was, and remembering polio. I had a friend who had polio. And, she lived out the rest of her life in an iron lung. Until we got a vaccine for polio, it was really, really very, but the idea of closing down the country, of course, never occurred to anybody at that point of those outbreaks. And I think that that is somewhat the attitude that we see in some of our older clients is, oh, this will pass. I've seen worse. Like the Spanish flu. So I think that that sort of attitude with their life experiences is contributing to they're not seeing this as quite the same level of alarm that we are, knowing what we know because of their life experience. But it is a challenge. Matter of fact, someone sent us a video. I'm sure everybody is getting these fun things by, to pass the time. And it was a video of day one with the quarantine. The two kids were watching SpongeBob. Day two of the quarantine, the little girl has a rubber dart that she's shooting at her brother. Day three, anyway, it leads you through 30 days of the quarantine and the changes that we've seen as this quarantine has gone on. And one of them was a scene where the dad has his jacket on and he's heading out the house. And the younger son, who is middle-aged, on the computer, says, "Dad, where are you going?" He said, "Well, I'm going to meet the guys for a beer." And the son says, "No, you're not. Are you crazy? You are not going out that door. Take off that jacket." And dad says, "Oh, you never let me have any fun." Takes his jacket and throws it off on the ground. So, yeah, and I've definitely seen my adult children doing the same. They are keeping the grandkids away. Only under dire circumstances was I able to actually touch one of our four grandchildren. And it was a situation which I just could not, as a grandmother being there, she was so distraught and there was no one to give her a hug. I had to cast caution aside and give my little 9-year-old granddaughter some comfort during the moment where she thought her dog was lost, and it was her birthday, and her parents were on work calls, and the dog hadn't been found. So, we're all making these decisions in the moment, and sometimes you just have to trust your gut level. And knowing everything that I knew, and thank goodness our daughter was okay with that. And so far, none of us have suffered from the hug that I gave my little 9-year-old granddaughter, but pray for me. Hopefully she wasn't a carrier, and I can escape the virus.
But that is so important, and I think that's what so many people are missing right now, is just that personal contact. I have still seen my son and grandkids pretty much every weekend, but it's usually outside. We've been going for a walk and they're on their bikes, so it's still good social distancing. But last weekend, my 7-year-old grandson just gave me a very spontaneous hug, which he hardly ever does anymore. And I said, "Thanks, buddy. I love you too, but we shouldn't be doing this." And I immediately regretted saying that even, because they just so need that. As do my clients, this new client that I saw earlier in the the week. When I left, I said, well, I'm a hugger and I would normally give you a hug. And she was almost in tears. And she said, oh, me too. She said, I wish I could hug you because I feel so much better just having talked with you, you know? And those are the times I get in my car and just want to cry. And that's why we do what we do.
Yeah.
You know? So, that personal contact is, you know, I'm sure we all are so accustomed to that. That's what so many people are missing. It's hard.
Yes. Thank you, Sue, for helping me feel like that wasn't the wrong thing to do.
No.
The validation. And I just want to add one more thing to the question that people threw out about what are we doing now to prepare. We've been, we're a team of 10 total people on my team, and we had one of our team members, a care manager. She got into the mask thing really big because she firmly believed that we should all be wearing fabric masks, not, you know, first responder masks. And so she has researched masks frontwards and backwards. So if anybody needs to know the best mask patterns to use, we are a repository of mask knowledge. I would be glad to share. But that said, now I'm turning my attention to PPE because I feel like we're all going to need to have the N95 mask if we can get hold of them, and the disposable gowns, and, you know, plenty of gloves, because I feel like that at a minimum is going to be probably required in addition to maybe testing. So we're starting to look at sources for that kind of PPE also, because we know it'll probably be a couple of weeks or 2 or 3 weeks before we're able to put our hands on any anyway. So if anybody has resources or suggestions around those types of areas that they would want to send out, I'm open and entertaining the best ways to source that kind of equipment for our team.
Would you send out your mask patterns and information?
Absolutely. It's a group of websites, and we have researched which type is the best, you know. So whatever way we can get that info out to you, I'm happy to share that.
That's great.
This is Julie. If you just send them to me in an email, I can add them to the COVID resource page on our website.
Okay.
I'm Ellen Kurloff. I'm from New Hampshire, and I am a case manager, a certified case manager for many, many years. My clientele is in three different groups. We have a village. In the village where we are still seeing our clients, but we don't have a preponderance of them. But we are very careful about who we the reason that we take a person in a car. Most of it is taking people to their doctor's appointments, and there are doctor's appointments that are with people who have severe diabetes and are complicated. We also have a private part of our agency, and that is also not the biggest population we serve. They're basically, we're on hold. We are not, we're talking with them on the phone. Then we have a big Medicaid clientele. We see over 1,000 people on Medicaid. They're elderly and young, and also the developmentally delayed. We have been phoning them once a week. We have 1,000 clients. We've had to really increase the phone calls. We are not allowed. We do not go out in the community. We're like everybody else on lockdown, and we're operating out of our homes. A lot of us out of our homes. I think that the developments in the last few days with the apparent positive results from the use of the two drugs, hydroxychloroquine and the remdesivir is really encouraging. I think that we'll be doing testing for a long time, and of course look forward to a vaccine, and that will be the biggest game changer.
Thank you, Alan.
So any other thoughts of moving forward imagining that the future and how that work, that client service environment is going to look like for you and your team?
I can imagine that, as was said before, currently checking in with families, with daughters and sons and that group to keep reminding them of the services we do provide. And I think post the emergency that we're in right now, families are going to need to be focused on their jobs and getting their kids back in school and readjusting, whether it's nursery school or daycare or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think our role could really be heightened if it's sort of marketed to families that we actually are needed more than ever. The other role is in the mental health field. If you don't have a lot of clients who are in the mental health, with a mental health diagnosis, I think that could be a focus that you could take your practice a little more, whether it's marketing to the discharge planners on those units in the hospitals, or if you have a facility that's in your area, those could be helpful. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary.
Yeah, this is Byron. I just want to build off of what Janet said in that I do think getting back into facilities, while it may be difficult, I think once they start to open up, it will be easier if we say, we can come in fully gowned up. So we're doing the same thing. We're trying to get our hands on some PPE. We fortunately have a relationship with a medical supply company here that we've used for years. I give you their name, but they're only accepting orders from current clients. They won't take any new clients, they've told us. And so one of the things that they think they can get their hands on is the it's KN95 masks. I see some heads nodding. That I guess the CDC has, or FDA or the NBC or the FBI, somebody has said that they're equal to the N95s, but hospital, because they're made in China, who's probably trying to kill us, they probably have giant holes in them, but they're supposedly the exact, they have the same efficacy, but hospitals can't use them. So if we can get the KN, I know one of my care managers got five KN95 masks, so we're going to try and stockpile a few of those, a couple dozen if at least, to get us through the next few months. And I think, gloves, which we already had a stockpile of gloves, but even gowns, which we've never done the protective gowns. And I think we're going to try and get our hands on some of those.
Byron, it sounds like for those who anticipate the need for PPE, that now is the time to start beginning to source, and because it could be a while before delivery. But to work on that now. Right. Any other thoughts? Yep, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if, in light of the new normal, what people are doing with regards to telemedicine or use of Zoom and, virtual kind of connection. And if any of you are using, are offering that as part of your services to help teach people how to do this or provide that for people, or, you know, just embracing what the new normal is, and that's using virtual meetings instead of in person. Mm-hmm. There's so much of what we've just discussed that's we really don't even know. I mean, if they're not testing everybody now, what makes us think they're going to allow us to be tested prior to going to a meet into a facility later? You know, if we're going to even have that available to us, hopefully it's just so much we don't know. So what are people offering as part of care management services regarding even telemedicine, and that kind of thing?
And while you answer that, would you also answer something for me? If ALCA were to be a source for copper microchromial masks that can be washed up to 30 times and then they need to go, would that interest anyone? So answer both questions when you click off mute.
What do we click? Tony?
Yes, Stephanie. Tony? I care manager has come forward with a source.
Yes.
They're not given. We have to buy them. We would buy masks. ALCA would buy masks and put them on the website in the store.
Yes.
And they're copper micro. Linda, help me with that word. Copper microchromial masks.
Microchromial.
They have that copper in them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can be washed up to 30 times, and then they need to go. And I'm just wondering if that is something. They're not cheap. Because they have the copper in them, but they are made out of sock material. This company that we found was making copper microchromial socks, and they've switched it, and they're now making masks. So I have an opportunity to source that, but I'm not sure that's not something we've ever done before. So while you're going to tell us what you're doing with telemedicine or telehealth and how that's been working, when you get on, would you also tell me if ALCA could be a source for masks? They would probably run for one mask $25, but you get it for a month.
People are responding in the comments, so that's great. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, talk about telemedicine.
Well, this is Janet in Houston again, and we are definitely interested in learning more about how we can go forward on that, because I do think it's going to be a part of our new normal. I don't think we're going to be able to go back to exactly the way we've done care management before. So we are looking at ways to do that. I'm trying to learn more about it. That's and learning from those who are already doing it is kind of the approach that I'm taking. Obviously, the doctors, the psychologists, the therapists are a little bit ahead of us on this, but I feel like I'm interested in going in that direction. The ideas of what kind of platforms can you use and things of that sort, I'm really, again, a novice. So I do feel, though, that I'm interested in going in that direction, because I feel like we need that option sooner rather than later, and as a regular part of what we do going forward, probably. And it's not the same as seeing our clients. We know we love that in-person assessment. We have to see our clients to do a good, adequate, full assessment. But in these times where we can't, and for those clients who may be more limited budget-wise, those full assessments, the 20-page assessments that I know Byron does in his company a lot of, that those are expensive, and not everyone can afford that full in-depth assessment. So, looking at how we can leverage technology to gather data so that we can serve our clients in different ways. I don't have the answers. I just have the questions.
I have some ideas on that, Janet, and I'd like to share them with you and ask the group if you think I'm crazy, because that could be happening right now on day whatever we're at. So I'm Carolyn, and I'm from New York, but I'm actually in Minnesota. I got here 4 weeks ago, and when I tell people I'm from New York here in Minnesota, they run the other way, but because of the contagious rate that's going on there. So telemarketing to me, I don't know if it's telemarketing, but teleconferencing, like our Zoom right now, is how I'm going to be going forward. And again, I'm independent, so I'm not with any group of care managers, but I've been doing this for over 20 years. And I'm seeing such huge numbers of people in isolation and talking to so many people who are friends and of the age of, say, this group, who are, you know, by themselves. They're not with other people. A lot are grandparents. A lot are missing their grandchildren, the contact, and the grandchildren are missing the contact with their grandparents. So here's my idea, as effective last night. It's called Grab a Grandma to Go. And what it is connecting this group of people, us, whoever would choose to do this, with either the schools, and I have these connections in New York where there is such tremendous need because the parents are home with the kids now and they're going crazy. They're schooling them, and they're working. They lost jobs. You all know what's going on. And I think the incredible numbers that this is affecting is just mind-boggling. So there's room for everybody here to take a part. I'm not sure how to proceed, Janet, but I'm looking at you because you brought up some issues that I'm dealing with now. I think there's a real opening here. The Zoom calls and somehow connecting a family with an older person who is in a nursing home, who is cognitively pretty okay, and having them trained and having them simply able to get on the Zoom call once a week, once a month, whatever we decide will work best with a family, with just the children, you know, however it, I'm not sure of the dynamic yet, but I'm working on that. So tell me I'm crazy.
Hi, I'm Colleen. You're not crazy. I too am doing a lot of video conferencing with families, with clients. I'm doing full-blown assessments with video conferencing with the healthcare teams and the client and the family, gathering documents from other people, you know, and doing that research. It's working good. I'm getting lots of work that way. I've even thought of a procedure of what about those clients who don't have iPads or don't have iPhones and can't FaceTime if, you know, Zoom isn't there. And it's like, okay, I can designate an iPad to be one that's mailed out and make sure that someone else is on the other end to help that client just get it set up and turned on, and then they can leave. So then there's some confidentiality, and then they mail it back to me. So that's how I've been thinking. I too am a grandparent that am separated from my grandkids, and it's challenging. It's difficult. I just recently joined an app called Caribou. It's absolutely amazing. It allows you to do one-on-one games and playing and reading books with your grandkids. And I was trying to do that through Zoom and FaceTime, but Caribou is making it much, much easier. As far as Zoom and connecting families.
Can you spell Caribou? Caribou, what are you saying? What's the word?
Yeah, C is in cat, A is in apple, R is in Robert, I is in iguana, B is in boy, O, orange, U, umbrella. As far as connecting family with the clients, I've been coordinating Zoom birthday parties and dinners, you know, where families are having dinners together and stuff. So there's a lot of things that we could be doing and keeping our folks that are in isolation connected. I remind my families to send a card, send gift packages, let them know that they're loved and being thought of. And it's really making a difference for my clients because they feel so isolated and now they are feeling connected.
This comes up over and over again on our ALCO almost daily Zoom calls. And one of the products out there that some of the care managers in Florida have been, Cindy, you're on. I know you're on. Cindy had great experience with. I saw Cindy was on earlier. Is she still on?
I'm on. Cindy.
Oh, good. Would you talk about GrandPad, please? And are you still in your car?
No, so I'm inside the house now.
He's always in her car on these Zoom calls. Go ahead.
I went driving. I actually had to go pick up a cat from an assisted living because my clients can't keep it anymore. Oh. And she's in rehab. There was nobody to take care of it. But anyway, that's solved. GrandPad is a device that is, you can check out their website. They were bought out, I believe, by Consumer Cellular. But I've got it in my client's home now in her assisted living memory care, and it's a secured system where you can do video conferencing with your family. Very easy to use. It rings and you just press a button. I see Julie just posted grandpad.net, and I understand also that we're going to have some conversations to see if they will give these at a discounted cost maybe to care managers to put in our clients' homes so that we can talk to them and their families can talk to them on video. But there's also, you can post pictures, you can see the weather in every place where all your family is. There games, there's actually, I just got an email that they're having a bingo game this weekend from 1 today until on Sunday at any time. She can go on and play bingo and they'll send a prize to the winner at the end. It's all kinds of neat stuff. So I've been using them for years with much success. They run about $40 a month. But anyway, you can check it out.
So Cindy, I'm a big fan of GrandPad too, but we do need to mention that it's $250 to buy the GrandPad. You happen to have a source evidently of a home care agency that had bought a lot of them, but I've contacted GrandPad to see, I went the Consumer Cellular route. But I think if the association is going to take the lead on this, I think it would be fabulous because that way we could all, we have a bigger group. I would love to use it with more clients. But, you know, you can't always convince people that, hey, $250 to start and then it's $30 for the first 5 months and then $40 after that. But, yeah, that's better than the iPad because, you know, that iPad can disappear and they're so expensive. So this would be, instead of the iPad, being able to do the video conferencing.
We've been working on it, Janet. Julie's actually working on it. We're trying to get them to, one, do a Zoom call or do something with us, and then we'll take it from there. But it's certainly with people that are part of NACM and people that are part of ALCA, it certainly would give us a larger buying.
That's great.
Yeah.
Julie. One thing I would say is if anyone has a contact or has worked with anybody, they can direct me to. I'm having a hard time getting in touch with the right person. So we're working on it, but any contact would be great. And then I wanted to actually mention something also that Carolyn had brought up. One thing that's going on, I know my daughter is actually a pre-med student and she's been spending a lot of her time shadowing doctors, and that's all now obviously ending currently because of the situation. And some of the recommendations that are coming out of the university from her advisor are to try to do some Zoom calls with the elderly that are in isolation to sort of use that time as a way that they can be helpful. So if anybody has clients, if they want me to set up with her, I would do that. But I think that's just another way that, you know, these students are getting some exposure and using their time valuably and also showing their commitment to the profession and going forward. So,
yeah, I think, Julie, I think that's great. And I think that, I think if ALCA could somehow get a handle on how to actually orchestrate this system, whether it's through medical students to the specific nursing home in their town where they're medical students or across the country, I think it could be a huge gift to the world at this point. And that's where my interest is, and I'd be happy to work with you on it. and see where we can go with it. I don't care about the name. I care about the fact that it would happen and people would be connected in a way that we don't have in our country right now.
Hi, Floor. We're near we're at the top of the hour, so we're really mindful and respectful of people's times. I think the discussion, you know, for the, you know, last section here on telehealth and telemedicine seems to generate a lot of interest. And I know Sue Coyle said maybe this could be a webinar topic for NACM or ELCA. It seems like there'd be great interest in that, whether it's best practices or innovations in several different areas, kind of facilitating that client, care manager, physician interaction. The direct interaction between the client, the care manager, without the family. And then, as we've just talked about, helping to facilitate connecting the elderly clients with families or with others to address the social isolation. So that seems to be that actually could be a series of topics that might be able to be discussed and facilitated through NACA, through ALCA or NACA.
Thank you, Linda. Thank you for your time this morning and your leadership in taking us. I was so into listening to everybody, I didn't even notice it was 1 o'clock, and I'm usually the one. So thank you for paying attention to the clock. We'll get something on the calendar next week or the following week. If you are also members of ALCA, we are doing a few next week. I have finally found someone to do a grief one. And we'll be putting that up the following week, which I think will be helpful for everyone. Please feel free to email me, Julie, or Sarah if you have, and you are not a member of ALCA and you are getting on these calls and you would like more information about anything. And for the rest of you that are ALCA members, thank you for continuing. And Carolyn, you should connect with Julie and I about this idea. With that, I will say have a safe and healthy weekend.
One quick thing. Don't forget we have a NACM Book Club webinar coming up in June with Ashton Applewhite, This Chair Rocks, A Manifesto on Ageism. Now is a good time to read the book and sign up for the webinar, and it's approved for 1.5 CEs for NACM and social workers. So that's on our website.
Thank you all very much. Have a safe and healthy weekend. Till next time, bye.
Bye. Mm-hmm.